The federal government is about to start another census. $400 billion it costs to distribute the census counts. And this week, we're looking all this week into why we need this headcount and why is it so controversial. Every time the census comes around, that's every 10 years, who does the census actually end up counting? Why are minority groups routinely undercounted? And how much does the government need to know about us anyway? To start off this week, we're talking to the Census Bureau director himself, Dr. Robert Groves. One of the most controversial portions of this year's census questionnaire is what is not in there, and that's that there's no question about citizenship. Mr. Groves, why did the Census Bureau decide to count both citizens and those who were here illegally?
Well, it wasn't my decision. It's the law, as it turns out. And to understand this, you have to go way back and read the Constitution that says, one, that we will enumerate people in their usual abode, all persons. And then in the 14th Amendment years ago, we agreed that the apportionment of the House of Representatives would be based on a count of all persons, not just citizens. And so we're, as a government agency, follow those laws carefully. And interestingly enough, this is the way we've done a census every decade since 1790. So it was not our decision. And indeed, again, as the Constitution specifies, Congress is directed, is given the responsibility for directing how the census has been taken.
So this is something that's been going on since 1790. Why is there so much controversy over counting these illegal immigrants now?
Well, it's interesting. If you're a student of history, you can see this discussion arising in the society around every census following decades where immigrants have entered the country in rather large numbers. So although we forget about this because 10 years is a long time between censuses, this is a discussion that is common in this society and other societies, actually, that experience such immigration. How to count these different groups is a valid societal debate and properly placed under the Constitution and Congress. So these are proper things to discuss. We will follow the law as specified. I do note that some residency rules, as we call them, pose logistical problems. So on another topic, some say, why don't we count all Americans who live overseas?
Right.
Why not include them in the U.S. Census? And although you can make the argument for that, and I can understand the argument, the logistics of counting all Americans throughout the world ends up being, overwhelmingly complex.
Well, I would imagine the logistics of counting everyone in the United States would be pretty overwhelmingly complex for me.
It is pretty complex. It's complex enough.
I would think. You've changed the descriptions of race in the census, and I was kind of wondering how I would fit in. Let's go over first on what are the categories, because you've split out things like there's a bunch of different categories for Hispanics. You've split those out. And you've got Black, White, and Native Americans as races. Asian is not. So first, let's talk about these categories and how you decided upon them.
We, for many decades, as well as many social scientists, have separated a notion of ethnicity from race. And the ethnic groups that are on the form are Mexican, Mexican-American, Chicano, Puerto Rican, Cuban, other Hispanic, Latino, and other Spanish origin folks. And we remind people, Argentinians, Colombians, Dominicans, Nicaraguans, Salvadorans, and Spaniards to write in exactly how they think of themselves, what phrase describes them. So ethnicity is separate from race. And then the racial categories on the 2010 form are white versus Black, African American versus American Indian or Alaskan Native, and then a large set of Asian groups: Asian Indian, Japanese, Native Hawaiian, Chinese, Korean, Guamanian, Filipino, Vietnamese, Samoan, and then other Asians. it is interesting as a social scientist to look at how this country has measured race and ethnicity over the decades. It changes every decade, and it changes in response to changes in the society. So my speculation is this isn't how we'll estimate or record race and ethnicity in 2020, because things will happen over the next 10 years to make it a less than good accounting of the different groups in the population.
Well, Robert Groves, you're the director of the U.S. Census Bureau, so give me a little bit of help here. I'm part African-American, I'm part Jewish, somewhere back in there I've got Spanish going on, and I've also got Cherokee and Choctaw mixed up in there as well. What box do I fill in?
Well, the wonderful thing about this form is that you can check multiple boxes, those that you identify with and think of yourself as. This is self-reported race and ethnicity, and you're able to report the mix that you see in yourself as you wish.
What if I feel Chicano on that day?
You indeed, if you want to make that
identification, self-reported,
you can do that.
Which seems odd, since that's going to have effects on terms of where my federal dollars go for certain minorities.
Well, what we found in the 2000 census, although we gave people the opportunity to mark multiple boxes, few do it. It's going to be very interesting to see, given the discussion about multiple race folks over this decade, how people behave with regard to that.
This is what I find so fascinating about the census. Every time the census comes around, obviously it's extremely busy. There's a lot of talk about the counting. There's usually controversy about all the topics we just went over. But really, in terms of some of the most interesting things that the census accomplishes, that happens in the shifting of data in the 10 years in between the actual census.
I agree. The payoff of a census is what we learn about ourselves. And I guarantee you, Celeste, if you went back right after the 2000 census, your program and newspapers and the media in general, you could find stories about how the society has changed in 10 years. It's that discussion about ourselves that takes place both, you know, around the kitchen table, but also in social organizations and political affairs that is so important. It always gives us a hint of what we're becoming as well as what we are, and that is the long-lasting value of a census. It shapes our view of ourselves.
I guess that's the takeaway of the entire U.S. Census. Thanks so much. That's Robert Groves. He's the U.S. Census Bureau Director. Good luck in the days ahead.
Thank you very much.
Coming up, when it comes to national security, were the 2000s the best or worst of times? We're going to talk about Homeland Security with George Packer.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.